there's a verse in the Bible and it says, mark the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace, right? In other words, take note of the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace. That's a Bible verse. King James, mark the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's cool outside. I hear the crickets. Everybody's asleep. There's no noise out. I hear a train in the background. It's like, man, this is so peaceful. I'm thinking about changing my work life and my whole routine to experience this. This is just totally great. I have never understood people who don't want peace. I was raised around an environment of no peace. And when I saw the drama, you know, whether it's at work, whether it's the way you were raised, whether it's your neighbors, whether it's some kind of show or something, it's like, whether it's going to like an event, if there's no peace, I don't want to be a part of it. And I would think that everybody would think that way. But everybody don't think that way. If you have peace, you can think right. You can feel right. I mean, it's actually your body. If your body has an environment of peace, it's more healthy for you. It's more healthy. It takes a long time to really learn a new skill or learn a new trade or learn a new way of thinking spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, or whatever. It takes a long time to understand what the narcissistic hive mind is. It takes a long time to understand some deep biblical principles and concepts. And the only way you're going to be able to grasp these concepts is in peace, in meditation and peace, you know. If you really want to know what's going on in the world, you got to step back, get away from the noise, get away from the drama, get away from the chaos, and think about everything that's going on around you. Take all the data points and look at it from the outside in peace, and you say, oh, okay, that makes sense. It takes a long time to learn certain things, you know. Think about how long it took you to get good at your job. Or think about how long it took you to get good at a hobby. You know, there's a lot of people that can play chess or do computer programming or to whatever they do. Some things just take a long time to learn. And that's the way life is, I think. It takes you a long time to learn what fits you, what's a good fit. It takes a long time to learn the kind of people you don't want to hang around. That's actually what I wanted to talk about, but that verse came to my mind. I want to talk about how some things you might want it overnight, but it just doesn't happen overnight. Things just don't happen overnight. It's a process. And if you really want to get good at something, it's a process. And you really have to stay focused, and you really have to stay on it, and you still really have to have some intestinal fortitude, but not by your power, but God's power. But you have to really, let's say you wanted to learn how to do carpentry work. It's going to take a while. It's going to take some time. If you want to do electrical work, it's going to take some time. Plumbing work, it's going to take some time. If you wanted to learn how to sew or paint or draw, or even speak like a public speaker. It's going to take time. Any kind of skill to be good at it, it's going to probably take you to really be like top dog at it. It's going to take about 10 years. They say in order to master anything, it takes about 10 years. So think about it. All that is involved in life, like the actors and actresses, it takes them a long time to get good at what they do. But think about all the skills in life, all the different things you have to do. Cooking, cleaning, washing clothes, a lot of that stuff, you think, oh, that's easy. But it's not. You learn new stuff all the time. Better ways to do stuff. Think about people who work on your car, how long it takes to really get good at that, to understand the concept, to see the whole picture, the whole pie. And so when you're speaking in a holographic manner and most people think in piecemeal, I know it's hard to grasp some of the concepts, you know, but the overarching pattern is pretty much written in all reality. And so what is the overarching pattern of all reality? There's many parts to make the whole. And in order to see the whole, you need to see the parts. So I'm talking about even whether it's doctors or nurses or, let's say a nurse goes to school for 4 years. She's really not prepared until she gets on the job and works the job about 7 years. And then she knows what she's doing probably. And with a doctor, it takes them a long time. It's actually a lifetime. I think to be a doctor, it takes a lifetime. I spent the last year and a half studying medical stuff. And I think a doctor, it takes a lifetime. Even the right food to eat. I mean, who told you about fiber, how important fiber is? Who told you how evil sugar is? I mean, you live your whole life and there's things that you, as you get older, you say, I can't do that anymore. I don't want to do that. I shouldn't have done that. Your body needs sleep. It needs ease. It needs water. It needs peace, you know. Your body's a ship. I mean, did you ever hear this in school, that your body's a vessel, it's a ship? Do even preachers talk about it? Do you even hear about it in church? Take care of your body. Your body's a vessel. Be careful what goes in your ear gate and your eye gate. Have you even heard those terms before, ear gate and eye gate? No. Why don't you hear these terms? Why don't you, a lot of the terminology, and a lot of times, when you're trying to stretch out and see past the average, you have to get alone and get by yourself and really do some mental stretching to see past into the other. Look at this weird animal out there. Oh, it's a cat. I thought, what is that? I think it's a cat. But anyway, learning about, you know, they discover new species in the ocean and stuff. And like learning about trees and plants and food and all that. If a person really studied the plant life, it'd take a whole lifetime. If you wanted to be a fence builder, it'd probably take 10 years to really understand the whole concept of it, you know. Home repairs, roofing, tires. It takes a lot to learn a skill and be good at any skill. This is like, think about a pastor, how the pastor has to balance his church, his life, his health. I don't even know if they do it good. I've seen some pastors that were, they didn't seem to be able to balance. They were overweight and they didn't really talk about, they really only just talk about the Bible, but they don't tell their congregation about the New World Order or the hive mind or the Jezebel spirit or the legalism. A lot of them are legalists and don't even know it. They don't even talk about narcissism. They don't talk about how the system is a big fat lie, you know. You've been lied to your whole life. They don't really understand. and I'm not blaming them because they're so occupied. They're so surrounded by so many people in their congregation. How do they even have time? If you were to go talk to the average priest, say, hey, if you go to the average preacher and you say, if you were to say this to the average preacher, you know, well, you're born in a system that's the 666 AI flesh mind cube system. They would look at you like you have lost your ever living mind. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. They would call you crazy. They'd say, that's not Bible. And you say, well, in Ephesians chapter 4, in the Greek, it's the word cube. The system's trying to deceive you with the cube. The system is a cube system. It's a box. The same word in Ephesians 4 in the Greek is the word cube. And it's actually the flesh mind. You know, everybody points at the devil and all, but the devil would have nothing in you if you didn't have the flesh. Jesus said, the devil has nothing in me. He comes to test me, but there's nothing in me. The reason the devil can test the human, because the human is born in sin. And so God has to slowly cut out the sin in your life. He's separating you. He's sanctifying you. He's setting you apart. And it's so easy to fall into something because your culture lies, your bloodline lies, your AI flesh mind, what you learned as a child, the programming that you got as a child, your survival mode as a child. We respond in a program most of the time. If we're not self-aware, and you have to practice this. You have to practice self-awareness all the time. Try this. Try this at work. Try this on the phone. Try this wherever you're at, the grocery store, the drive-thru, whatever. Pay attention to your own thoughts and your own actions as you're actually interacting. So let's go, you go to the grocery store and you go through the line. If something happens while you're in the line that upsets you, ask yourself, why are you upset? Ask yourself, why are you upset? It's really not the other person necessarily, unless they're coming at you, poking you and pushing you and prodding you or something. Yeah, people can upset you that they go and do something crazy. But a lot of times we get upset because there's something in us, you know. But if you want to practice self-awareness, you can do it all the time, at any moment. You can do it right now. Think about what you're thinking. As you're listening to this, what are you thinking? How are you digesting the material? When somebody says, hey, the Greek in Ephesians 4, the Greek is cube. I can't remember the verse exactly, but it talks about how the world is trying to deceive you. The cube. And when I was a child, I remember having this nightmare. I was on the couch, and the cube was, I actually saw the cube coming at me. It was like a nightmare, but my mother and grandmother were sitting there, and I was kind of, they said, what's going on? I said, if the cube gets through, it's like I was sitting on the couch, and that was the goal. And the cube was trying to get through I was the goalie, and the cube was trying to get through. And I said, if the cube gets through, we all die. I remember that. If the cube gets through, we all die. Now, I think I was surrounded by witches growing up, so I might have been, they might have been poisoning me, trying to get, like, spiritual knowledge from a child or something. Who knows? I don't know what they were doing. But I think I was surrounded by witches my whole life and didn't know it. And they knew that I was different than them. Somehow they knew. But I actually saw the cube trying to get through, right? And that's exactly what's happening in reality. They're trying to put you in a box. It's just like the Borg hive. It's everywhere. It's in all the movies. It's right in front of you. You live in a cube. You work in a cube. Everything's a cube. Everything's a box. If you unfold the cube, you get the cross. So they want to close the cross up, turn it into a cube to keep you in a little box. And so they want you in a smaller and smaller box. They want you tied to a phone, a computer screen, an indoctrination of a denomination. They want you in a denomination, which means dename. They want you in a touch not, taste not, smaller and smaller cube. And this is what a lot of preachers do and don't even know it. They go to seminary and then they try to set you under some kind of rule-based system. Instead of faith-based, they want you under some kind of rule, you know? And so this cube system that we're in, you're born in it. You were born out of a box, the woman's box. You're born, then you go to the grave in a box, but your whole life you're in a box. You're in a job that has a system and it has a way of doing things. You have to actually function down here in the system, even though you're not a part of the system. That's a skill. It takes a long time to learn that. You realize, you wake up one day and you think, everything's a system. The education, the financial, your career, your job, your even like Amazon and UPS and FedEx, they're all a system. And there's a lot of people that are miserable on that job, but they have to do the system to pay their bills. You're stuck in a system. And everybody wants to escape the matrix and escape the system, and they want to be free, right? Well, you can be free while you're in the system. You can understand the system for what it is. It's not even real. God will not let you stay in delusion and lies because God wants you to live in the real world. And when he's breaking you free out of the matrix, out of the system, he has to show you the system. It's Babylon. And it's always been here. It was here with the Pharaoh, Egypt. See, Egypt is Egypt, spiritually gypping you. And so when you go to work or you go to school or you go to the military, you go to whatever, university, they have all these rules. And your whole life you're filled with works, levels, ranks, gradings, rules, follow this, touch not, taste not, handle not at church. You better not watch this movie, you better not read this book or whatever. But the truth is encoded in everything because God created everything. You just have to be able to have the discernment to see it. So it takes a lifetime. A lifetime of study, meditation, contemplation, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Taking all the pieces of the pie to see the whole pie. And then what happens, you start to see the archetypes and you see this. You see when people talk, they're usually speaking from a system. It's very rare that somebody can step outside of a system and think outside their particular system, whether it's their culture, whether it's their family, whether it's their city, their state, their country, whatever it is. It's very rare for people to think outside their box that they've been in their whole life. It takes a lifetime, a lot of times, to break free. It's like a jail cell. It's an invisible jail cell. And everybody's all worried about the 15-minute cities and stuff like that. The true jail cell is mental. It's spiritual. It's psychological. It's emotional. And to escape these man-made cells out here in front of you is fine, but it's mainly internal. It's mainly an internal jail cell, psychological, emotional, spiritual, weird things that you learned as a child that your parents taught you, or your whoever was your caregiver taught you to think a certain way. Then it takes you a lifetime to break free from that. There's a lot of people, probably in their 20s and 30s, they still think their parents are like perfect. But then there comes a point in your life where you realize, hey, your parent is just like you. They have weaknesses. They have failures. They're not perfect. There comes a point in your life where you become an adult, and your parent becomes an equal. But most people, I've watched them, most people live their whole life trying to please their parent their whole life. It's wild. It is really wild. But your parent is, you have your own calling. You know, when you hit 18, 20, God is kicking you out of the nest to so that you have your own destiny and calling. And you see a lot of parents, they try to make their children follow their own calling. I mean, the calling that they want them to follow. And I saw this growing up, and I actually saw it in college where you would hear people say, well, I want my son to be a basketball player or a baseball player and make a million. Why are you don't even have kids yet. What are you talking about? You want your son to follow this? It's the weirdest. Those were some weird comments. Each person is called by God. They're, you know, the child is not really your child. It's God's child. You're just there to be a good steward, to move that child to that child's destiny. Every person has their own destiny in life. And to take ownership of a child or a car or a house or anything down here, it's not the right kind of thinking. You got to hold on loosely. Everything that you try to hang on to, you're going to lose. But everything you give out and you don't hold on to comes back. In other words, what I'm saying, if you try to hang on too tightly, that's not what reality is. It's not yours. You're just a steward of those children, of your car, of your business, of your house, of your finances. You're just a steward of, you really own nothing. You own everything, but you own nothing. This world is yours, but at the same time, you're just a steward of everything that flows through you. Whether it's a friendship, whether it's family, whether it's kids, whether it's a job, you're just a good steward. Like, Let's say you're remodeling a house or something. When you're dead and gone, wouldn't it be nice to remodel that and have it ready for the next person that comes after you? You're just a steward. On your job, you're just a steward. Your job could end today, tomorrow, next week. So while you're there, you're just being a good steward of the responsibility that you have for now. You are a good steward. That's it. Or supposed to be a good steward. Stewardship. It's not yours. Your car is not yours. Your property is not yours. Your land is not yours. You're just a steward. Whether it's relationships, whether it's kids, whatever it is. Your time is not even yours. You're supposed to be a good stewardship of your time. That in itself could be a video of itself, that you own nothing down here, but you own it all. It's like an oxymoron, but it's not. Just Jesus says, in order to save your life, you have to lose it. If you save your life, you lose it. If you lose your life, you save it. If you try to hang on to something, you lose it. If you let it free, it comes back. If you are a good stewardship, even though you own nothing, you own it all, because you can get in the flow. It's all about the flow, people. The products flow, the blood flows, the current, the water has to flow, your thoughts have to flow, communication in a marriage has to flow, everything has to flow. It has to flow through you, not to you. It's from Him, through Him, and to Him. So anything that you do has to flow through you. The discourse out of your mouth is a flow. The thoughts are a flow. The ideas are a flow. The inventions are a flow. Everything flows through you. You learn how to manage it or be a good steward. And it's cornucopia then. If you want to step into cornucopia, stuff has to flow through you, not to you. It might come to you, but it's, the whole purpose is it flows through you and out. And if God sees that you can manage that, He'll let more stuff flow through you and outward. It's hard to manage a lot of stuff. So you got to get good at a few things. Like, let's say you're managing one thing. You got to get really good at that, and it becomes like a habit. It becomes so easy that it just flows through. Then you learn, let's say you learn another skill. Then it just flows. Let's say you were wanting to learn some languages, okay? Before you can learn, you can't learn three or four languages all at once. So you'd have to learn one language and get fluent in it. Then you'd have to learn another language, get fluent in it. That's example what I'm talking about. You got to get so good at something that it just flows. Then you can go to the next thing. It flows. The next thing, and then it flows. That's what life is, and that's what I'm saying. It takes a long time to learn certain skills and a certain flow, and then once you get good at it, you can start adding to that skill other skills, you know. Some people are good at music. It just flows through them. Some people are good at writing. It just flows through them. Some people are good at speaking. It just flows through them. Some good at acting. Some good at drawing. Some good at art. But it didn't happen overnight. You want it to happen now, but it takes time. And this is why you got to be patient with people. When you first get married, you expect the other person to be perfect or do everything right. But everybody's got things they're working on. Nobody's perfect. Everything's got things. Everybody has some narcissism in them. Everybody has stuff they're working on. And some people get good at something faster than other people. Some people can clean. Some people can cook better than other people. Some people can mow their yard better than other people. Nobody's good at everything, but, you know, it can be, these skills can be learned. Your time is limited. Your resources are limited. You have to use your time and resources wisely, because that's just life. And you can add to those skills once you get good at managing one thing, you move to the next. Then you get good at that. Then you go to the next. Then you get good at that. You go to the next. It's really wild when you look back and you think, I thought I could do it all right now. It don't work that way. You wish you could snap your fingers and it was done. It don't work that way. And so the secret to life I found is to be prepare. You can't be prepared for everything, but you try to be prepared and you try to manage everything in the now that needs to be done now. In other words, if you need to wash your clothes now, go do it. If you need to wash your dishes now, go do it. Don't put it off, because by putting it off, a lot of stuff's building up. You need to pay a bill, go do it right now. Go on the computer and pay it right now, and it'll be off your mind. Or if you pay all your bills at the same time, go pay them all at the same time. Everybody's different when it comes to that. If you need to fold your clothes, go do it now. If you need to clean the house, go do it now. Why put it off? Get so good at something that it just flows, it becomes like a habit, you know? But what I really wanted to say is just, you know, don't beat yourself up if you keep learning, if you keep having to learn the same lesson over and over and over and over. That's part of the process. That's why we're here. We're down here. It's the process. It's really to get good at something or to not make the same mistakes. It's a process. It really is a process. I really don't know how people have a bunch of noise going on and still function. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, these crickets, this peace, this cool weather, it's such a nice feeling. It almost makes you want to take a third shift job, you know. I just felt led to do a message, and the message that I felt led to do was to get good at something, anything, multiple things. It takes time, and for people not to beat themselves up and to look at other people and say, well, they seem to be doing better than me. How do they do it? How do they keep it together? Everybody's different, and you don't really know what they're dealing with. When you look at another person, they might have areas that they're not good at, that you're good at, or that you're good at, they're not. Comparing yourself with one another is, and comparing yourself with somebody on YouTube or Warren Buffett or investors or whatever, or somebody who's, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, you say, man, how do they have time to lift weights? You know, it'd be nice to be able to go to the gym every other day. But there's areas in their life that they're missing out on. So I don't know who needs to hear it. Everybody's different. Everybody has different skills. Everybody's different. And it takes a while. It takes a while to really get good at something. And it takes focus. Once you get good at one thing, move to the next. Once you master one thing, go to the next. And it's just not going to happen overnight. That's my whole point. Spirituality is not just going to happen overnight. Yeah, you get saved. Yeah, God gives you the spiritual gifts, but you still have to exercise that gift, whatever it is. Whether it's preaching or teaching or singing or helping or giving or whatever spiritual gift you have, it's just like any other gift. It takes time. You have to exercise it. Even meditation, it takes time. If you can cut the noise off, the music off, and the TV off, and it takes time to sit down and keep your mind focused. But once you do it, once you get to a point where keeping your focus on your little business, your side business, your career, whatever, once you get to the point where you're able to keep the focus, meditate on stuff or contemplation or whatever, you don't want any distractions because you're in the flow. Once you get in the flow of something, it's like, you just don't want a distraction because it's a good feeling, you know. To be in the flow is like the greatest feeling ever. I don't know how to explain it unless you've experienced. You know, you see a basketball player and they say, yeah, they're in the zone. When you get in the zone, especially in the zone spiritually, when God is showing you stuff, revealing stuff, and you're in that zone, you're in that flow, it's like you don't care what the world is doing. You don't care what the news is saying. This is what I mean about setting your affections on things above. When you really get in the flow of things above, you don't even care about this place anymore. And that kind of flow is like, it's like an ecstasy. It's like eternal bliss even in the now. And when you get in that flow, this world fades. But you have to come back sometime. You have to step out of that flow, get back down here into 3D and do your thing, then go right back to the flow. And it's a real thing. I know some people think it sounds crazy and have never experienced it, but I promise you, it's a real thing. And I would suggest to anybody and everybody to try to get into that flow. If you can get into the spirit flow, it's a whole different world. But trust me, you're going to have to come back to this world and function. That's why you see like a lot of the new age people, you look at them and you say, why are they so weird? I'm not saying they're right. They got some Lucy light. This is why the devil is so enticing to these people. This is why it's hard to rescue. It's hard to pull a witch or a new age person out of that reality back to Jesus, because they saw past the game, whatever way they did. I don't know how they see past the game without Jesus, but I guess the devil gives them this knowledge to try to entice them into the dark side and make them think that they're some kind of super special human. They call themselves light workers, and they call themselves what's the other word? The devil wants them to think that they're light workers and this, that, and the other, to distract them from Jesus. You know, if you're a saint, you're seated in the heavenlies in Christ, you are the real light worker, because your lights, see how the devil always has a counterfeit? So the devil gives these people counterfeit. They call themselves light workers because the Bible says you're the light of the world. Think about it. So the devil has a counterfeit of everything in the Bible. So these light workers get some kind of Lucy light, and you can't pull them out of it because it's such a supernatural, weird thing. That you look at them, you say, come back to the real world. Come back to the real world. It's a real thing, people. And usually, like the new age people or the witches or whatever, something bad in life has to happen to really pull them back. Because you can't be in the dark side and prosper. There might be a phase in their life where most of them they go into the tarot cards and they go into the like the sad guru and stuff like that. They go into this thing where they become like a cult leader, right? And they get all these followers and they're making a lot of money, but then it crashes and burns because the devil is the anti. And they are their own worst enemy because they went to the dark side, you know. And then you can actually see somebody like, you can actually see it like somebody like Poppy, you know. I thought about that situation for a long time. When Poppy first started out, one of her first videos was, I'm Poppy, I'm Poppy, I'm Poppy. She did that for like 10 minutes. I'm Poppy, I'm Poppy. And I really meditated on that for a long time. So what they were doing some kind of witchcraft. So she did that, I'm Poppy for 10 minutes to create a seed to get followers, right? People were enthralled of something new. They've never seen this before. Somebody gets on there and just says, I'm Poppy, I'm Poppy for 10 minutes. It's kind of blew people's mind. They think, what is this? And then she started singing and doing her little artwork, her music, or whatever. But then she went to the dark side, right? That's what I'm saying. they start out as some kind of new thing you've never seen, right? But if you notice, they always go to the dark side, because Lucy light takes them into this, the spiritual dark realm, the stuff that's, they get this new stuff, right, that nobody's ever seen. It's true with technology, it's true with Tesla, it's true with all kinds of the AI program. So there's new technology comes in, everybody's enthralled with it. But you know, the technology takes you into smaller, and technology was supposed to be setting the human free, but it's making people more of a slave. That's my point. So the Lucy light says, here, take this and be free. But it makes them more of a slave in the long run. I'm Poppy, I'm Poppy, I'm Poppy. She seemed like she was like, it was like portrayed as like this pure, innocent type thing. And now she's gone to the dark side, and all her movies, all her music now is demonic. The Lucy light is the fake light. The technology is like the fake light. It's taking you down the primrose road to hell. It's a road to hell. And so this is what I'm saying. It takes a lifetime to see a lot of stuff, like how the system is a cube, 666 cube lie, the American dream. So you talk about the American dream most of your life, American pride. But what is it? It's just a dream. It's the pride of man. I'm watching this plane right above me. It looks like a triangle UFO. But you can tell it's a plane by the noise. But the world system's a primrose path to hell. It's fake reality. And so when the Bible says set your affections above, the Bible says mark the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace. All this news and media and drama, and they're hitting you and bombarding you with information and data and technology and UFOs and wars and rumors of wars and all that, is to take away your peace and to take away your true calling. You're not, you look at somebody else, that's not you. God has a calling in your life. You know, everybody has a calling. I've talked too long, but what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, don't expect it to happen overnight. Don't give up. Press on. Press for the high calling. Walk by faith. You're saved by faith, you walk by faith. Just keep on pressing on. That's all I'm saying. No matter what they hit you with, no matter how crazy it gets, no matter how crazy it seems. I picked up an 80-year-old lady the other day, took her to the train station. She was older lady, saved, and she said she was talking about faith, and she didn't know I was a Christian, and I started talking to her on her level. And she started saying, amen, amen. That made her feel better that her Uber driver was a saved person too. And so we were talking about, you just keep walking by faith, you know. No matter what they hit you with, no matter how crazy it seems, you just keep walking by faith. And God has a calling in your life, and you got to stay focused on what God has called you to do. And don't look at somebody else and think they got it better, or that has nothing to do with you. Your calling is your calling. Their calling is their calling. You can't compare yourself with one another. If it takes you longer to get somewhere than somebody else, that's fine too. If you get there faster than somebody else, don't look at them and say, why aren't they there yet? You know, they're just not there yet. It takes everybody. Everybody's going through the process. It takes some longer. Some get there faster. But if you are really called to follow Christ, we're all on the same path. We're all going to go to the same destiny. It just might, the roads might be more winding than somebody else's roads, but the roads lead to the same path, because when you see them, you'll be like him. So it's best not to judge people, expect people to be somewhere they're not. It's a birthing process for everybody.